Fonzie with DipYourCar.com. This is the DYC Dipping Industry Dipcast episode number...
The notes. The notes are right there.
I don't look at the notes. Episode number 10. Of course, it's Fonzie with me, as always, is Adam and our sound engineer, Dan, who we've tried to position to have his head not be the center of the shot this time. So we'll see if he can stay put. We've got a very cool episode for you guys today. We've been getting so many questions and so many topics suggested. It's almost making it too easy for us to kind of pick and choose what we want to include in each episode. There's so much content coming in. But the double-edged sword to that is that we try to get everybody's questions and comments, right, you know, addressed. But either way, what do we have on your little note sheet today?
Today we're going to address the fact that you have a new Facebook page. We're also going to do a comparison and contrast between the gun that Lowe's sells and the DYC spray system. We're going to talk a little bit about dipping over old dip. We have a new application process for people that are interested in becoming installers. We're going to touch base on that. And we're going to interview a real interesting fellow, Steve Fisher, who I think we have on the phone right now.
Right. Steve, are you there?
I'm here, guys.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. How's it there in Florida?
It's 86 degrees. 80.
Not in here, though. Well,
everybody seems to think...
You'd be talking to a dial tone if that's accurate.
What's that?
You're talking to a dial tone if that's accurate. It's cold.
Oh, dude. Everyone thinks that it's so cold in the studio. I kind of like it. Maybe I generate a lot of heat or something. But you've been... If anyone's been on Dippers Anonymous or the DYC community, you've noticed Steve. He's been a very helpful guy, a very supportive guy. One of the few, not few, but one of the core guys who is around. You can tell he's there to help. He definitely gets involved in the nitty-gritty stuff. He likes to kind of throw his opinion out there. So it's somebody that we wanted to bring on, not only to get his take on how things are going in the dipping industry, but he's got a very unique story. He's overcome some obstacles and some challenges in the past several months or so, and we wanted to allow him to share his story too. So to get back to the very beginning for us, or what's relevant to us, Steve, how did you find out about dipping? How did you get into it?
Well, I've been in the automotive industry my entire life. I was more or less just born into it. Building street rods with my father. We had quite a few street rods that were in big car shows. In the south suburbs of Chicago, they had car shows everywhere. They had one called the World of Wheels that was downtown Chicago. We built quite a few street rods of his that were in there and big trophy winners. So I've been in this my entire life. A couple years back, my son, who is now 23, says, "Dad, you got to check this stuff out. It's called Plasti-Dip. You can put it on your car and peel it off if you don't like it." I said, "You know what? Passing fad. Not interested."
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of tenacious. Kept telling me, "You need to really check into this stuff." So for years, I've been in this collision industry running body shops for people and working for them. I decided to take it upon myself to get involved in it, start testing, start playing with it, bouncing a lot of ideas off him. He's super creative. And once I started to get my feet wet in it, we started shooting hoods, fenders. Being in the collision industry, I have access to a ton of sheet metal. So just started practicing at that.
Good and, testing material.
I kind of set a goal for myself. I said by the time I turn 45, I want to have my own shop.
Mm-hmm.
And Fonzie and DYC have been just fantastic in helping me with their support. And I kind of message him probably more than I should. Just keep pestering him. But knowledge is power. And if you educate yourself and educate yourself on the product and the equipment you're using, you're so much further ahead. And no one can take that knowledge away from you. You can take that anywhere and go make a living.
Sure. So right now, you know, you've gotten to the point where you're definitely one of the more active guys in the communities. And like I said, always able to reach out there and help. The one thing that I noticed about Steve is he's got this memory bank almost, where if I see him ask a question, or say he'll PM me a question, I'll give him an answer the best I can, or he'll ask a question and get support from the community. he's one of the first guys to jump in and throw an answer out there when he sees that question resurface. And that's the type of thing that keeps those communities cycling and keeps them healthy. So we obviously appreciate that. And I'm sure everybody does, because you know how it is on the internet, man. I mean, some people are getting a little bit more enjoyment out of the negative side when the majority of people, the good-hearted people, are out there to help and participate and stuff like that.
Well, being in the industry I'm in the auto body industry, there's a lot of first-time dippers out there that have never painted a car, never done body work on a car, never primed a car, or even prepped a car. They're picking up a rattle can or, you know, one of your sprayers for the first time. I bring to the table a lot of what I learned through the years in prepping and masking and shooting, using door aperture tape and special adhesive pieces to pull your windshield moldings back, versus trying to use some clothesline or mm-hmm. weed whacker line or something like that. I also take a lot of flack when people say, you know what, it costs too much money for you. You're using the PPS system. That's too much money. Mm-hmm. It costs too much money for door aperture tape. But the bottom line is, when you're in business, time is money. How much is your time worth?
Sure, 100%. Now, let's talk about this for a second. Out of all the cars that you've sprayed in the past using auto paint, when you first started spraying, not out of the aerosol cans, but when you first started spraying the Plasti-Dip out of that gun, what were the first things going through your head as far as the behavioral differences and how different it was for you to adapt from spraying paint to spraying dip?
Well, you know, to me, I started out on lacquer, and lacquer is thin. So you have to apply a lot of coats. I moved to enamel, and it's the opposite. Enamel was thicker, so you're using a different gun, different cap, different needle. And then I transitioned back into solvent with base clear, mm-hmm. And then you're going back to a thin product again. So I've been through quite a few different materials. The first time I sprayed DYC, I was spraying matte black, and it turned out horrible. And it threw me for a loop. I thought it was, you know, I'm a seasoned person. I could paint. I'm going to pick up your sprayer, and I'm going to lay down this just really wicked paint job or dip job on this truck. And it was anything but that. So it was back to the drawing board, back to more testing and more reading. That's why I keep saying there's a ton of people out there, if they would just read. Mm-hmm. And take that knowledge and don't expect to be owning your own shop or turning out that fantastic job your first time through.
There is a learning curve to it, just like anything. And I think sometimes, Steve, what happens is people, they see the videos and they get caught up in the hype and they lose the perspective of the size of the project. If you can imagine before dipping, back when you were in your automotive industry, you know, painting your whole car with whatever coating or paint you're using is a huge project. A do-it-yourselfer painting his own vehicle is a really big deal. People have to remember to keep that scope in check. It's a big project. It takes preparation. It takes a certain skill set and technique. And yes, it is a user-friendly product. It is forgiving. There's not a lot of consequence to it because you can peel it off. But in your head, you've got this perfect, clean satin black look in your mind. You buy the kit, you jump in, you have to do your homework, you have to make sure you know what you're doing, or else you may not get the result that you're looking for.
That's correct. There is that learning curve, and I think you and I had discussed that, and a lot of the same attributes come into play. We talked about red at one time, and red is a very transparent color.
Yeah.
So you need more coats. I thought I was going to walk into my shop and shoot down that black, and it was going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
It was very humbling to find out that I couldn't lay down a perfect job my first time through.
And now you're at a point where you're pumping out, you know, different projects and stuff and really being an asset to the community. And a lot of, speaking in the community, a lot of people have connected with you on more of a personal level because you've been going through some personal challenges. And one thing that I look for personally, and everybody has these different triggers that make you respect a person or connect with a person. And one of the things that I personally get kind of connected with is when people get through adversity in a way that I admire. So, if you're comfortable with that, you can maybe share with the audience a little bit about some of the challenges that you've had in the past couple months, because you seem to get, you know, gotten through that in a really respectable way.
Yeah, let me tell you, growing up, working in collision shops, especially spraying enamels, a lot of times we weren't wearing a mask, or if we were, it was just a charcoal respirator and our T-shirts, and you'd shoot a car in enamel, and you'd walk out of the booth, and your arm hair would be all sticky.
Mm-hmm.
I was taught, just grab a red Scotch-Brite pad, pour some lacquer thinner on it, and scrub it off your arms.
Yeah.
What they didn't tell you back then is all that solvent is absorbed through your skin into your bloodstream and goes right to your liver. Then you deal with isocyanates moving forward, and that's attracted to moisture. So you protect yourself in the booth, but it's attracted to the moisture in your eyes and moisture in your skin, and then it's absorbed into your body. Well, I didn't take the precautions growing up. I just felt I was invincible and I was Superman, and you know, I just needed to keep working. Well, I have what they call a diverticulitis. It's a problem with your colon where you get little pockets and you can't eat anything that has seeds, corn, or nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And about once a year I get an attack where I have to go to the doctor, get some antibiotics, and it clears up within 7 days. Back in late October of 14, I had an attack. Went to the doctor. She stressed that I should get a CT scan. I said, just give me the antibiotics. She says, I really think you need to have the CT scan done. And so I fought with her about for almost 10 minutes, just stressing the fact that I don't have insurance. I thought I did, but I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't want a pad in my pocket. She convinced me, went for the CT scan, came back. She told me that my diverticulitis really wasn't inflamed, not to worry about it, but that my right kidney is full of cancer.
Mm.
So she asked what kind of line of work I'm in. I explained to her what I do and what I've been in, and she says, I would attribute your cancer to your line of work. If you're around solvents, if you're breathing them in, if they're touching your skin, it is absorbed into your body and it has to be processed. She referred me to a urologist, and they had me scheduled for the removal of my right kidney. Not even to try to save it, just remove it was the best thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Urologist did a fantastic job. They had told me I'd be out of work for 3 weeks. I was out of work for just a touch over two. Back in the shop here, in my dip shop, and working at the collision shop full time. I work 55 hours a week at the collision shop, and nights and weekends here in my own dip shop. So you can't let these things beat you down. I told my wife, I said, I need 2 days just for a pity party for myself.
Yeah.
And then that's it. I was going to kick ass. I got kids. I have, you know, family, and I got businesses. So cancer isn't a death sentence anymore.
Yeah, it's interesting. And that mentality, that mindset can really translate to almost anybody with any problem. That mindset of, if this isn't going to kill me, then I'm going to bust through it. It's like you have a conscious decision of how you're going to get from point A to point B. Either you're going to get from point A to point B and you're going to be miserable the whole time and you're going to regret the entire journey, or you're going to look back once you're at B and you're going to be really proud of yourself and the way that you handled it, and everybody around you is going to be really proud as well. Either way, you're going to end up at point B. Make the conscious decision to get it done the right way, and try to have that positivity. And as we, you know, some of us in the community, I know Jeff Long was following along and everything. He's a great guy. And we were really inspired, and I can speak for myself anyway, really inspired by, I was looking around, I swear, I was looking at people, I'm like, did Steve just post on Facebook? Like, I thought today was, you know, you were having procedures and you're up there posting on Facebook like an hour later or whatever. And I'm like, dude, yeah, this guy's just full of freaking fire, man. And it was awesome to see. And before I knew it, it's almost like you were just back in and you had the same mentality. It was awesome to really follow through with that, especially from somebody who didn't, I've never experienced that personally. So I really admired that.
You know, you go through life, and it's how you handle the trials in your life, and how you come out on the other side. It's a test of your character.
It is.
And I have a son who's 23 years old who means the world to me, and I have a daughter, or a 15-year-old son who means the world to me, and a daughter who's 10, and they don't need to see me lay down. What message am I sending to them?
100% agree. And now, like you said, you've got your business is going. You've got your dip shop, and you're running custom dipped FX, correct?
Correct, custom dipped FX. Yeah.
And if people want to find you on Facebook, how would they find you on Facebook?
You just do a search for custom dipped FX,
mm-hmm.
and you're gonna see my pretty little face with a respirator on.
Perfect. And you got kind of like
rules in my shop that you wear a respirator and gloves at all times.
Perfect.
And no quicker way to get bounced out of the shop than not have your safety gear on.
You know what? That sets a really good example as well. And last episode, episode number nine, we actually spent a good 20 to 25 minutes covering safety and really trying to get a reality check and going, guys, we know that there are hundreds of thousands of people using this product every year now. Let's make sure that as user-friendly as it is, let's make sure that we respect it for what it is as well. And your message goes a long way as well.
Yeah, every time I see someone post a picture they don't have a respirator on, I kind of get my soapbox out and kind of throw a little sarcasm at them and just let them know that they're not invincible. And at times I feel like I'm a little overwhelming to people, but you know what? I care. I don't need, if I know that me going through that, what I went through, is going to possibly save two or three people or even one person from making that foolish mistake again, it's all worth it.
100%. And you know what? Even if you are overbearing, sometimes that's what it takes to make people change their behavior. So I wouldn't stop doing that at all.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely. Well, we really appreciate your time, dude. We were more than happy to have you on the show. Definitely a guest we were looking forward to. And I'm sure I'll talk to you again real soon. And thank you very much.
All right, guys. Take care. Appreciate it.
All right, Steve. Take care, buddy. I'll talk to you real soon.
All right. Bye. Hey, you're
bringing that pop. That's two really cool stories in a row.
Yeah.
Inspirational kind of stories.
He's good. He's kind of got that, like, radio voice almost.
Yeah.
I did not expect that. It's always weird when you talk to somebody for the first time and you see their picture and the voice doesn't match up.
Right, right.
It's pretty cool. He's a good dude.
Absolutely.
I know you like when I say that.
I mean, hey.
If we're interviewing people that weren't good dudes, we wouldn't be interviewing the right people.
You're bringing that positivity right there.
Exactly.
All right. So, I mean, I know we talk about Facebook a lot here because that's a great forum for us to, you know, reach out to our fans and people to exchange ideas. And recently, you had an interesting thing happen to you, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently, you're only allowed to have 5,000 fans on Facebook. That's the max. Why? I don't know. But Facebook told me I'm not allowed to have any more fans. Friends.
I was going to say fans.
What the heck am I talking about? You're only allowed to have 5,000 friends on Facebook.
Right.
And once you hit 5,000, they don't want you to have any more friends. Mm-hmm. And the problem that I'm having with that was I kept getting friend requests. And I know that people are going to start throwing hashtags like first world problems or popular guy problems or whatever you want
to
say. I've seen all of them. I've seen all of them, and I'm okay with that. But the reality is, I don't want people to think that I'm not accepting their friend requests.
Right.
That genuinely bothered me because at the first day I'm like, oh, I can't accept any more friends. Okay, yeah, maxed out. Keep rolling. And then I started getting some private messages like, hey, you know,
you have 5,000 and you're not.
Right, because that's the reality of it. If a guy has 20 and he's not accepting your friend requests, he's obviously pretty exclusive. He's selecting carefully. Mm-hmm. If you have 5,000 and you're not accepting me, like, what's different about me than 5,000? So I was explaining to people, you know, four or five times a day, hey, here's what's taking place. And then a lot of people started making the suggestion you should make a public page, which I didn't even think of. And then once I started reading some of those suggestions, I had some conversations with people, I realized that it's a much better way for me to share content because I'm going to keep, and I think Esteban from Undercover Codings was the guy who says, okay, now there's a yellow Fonzie and a red Fonzie because of the profile pictures. And I am going to keep both because I like to participate and interact with people in the Facebook groups, but you can't do that as a page. You have to have a personal account. So I'm going to maintain my personal account to participate with people in Facebook groups and private messages. And then I'm going to use the other account, the page, or Red Fonzie, if you will, and that's going to be where I'm going to share my content. Because not all the stuff that I share rolls out on Dip Your Car's main pages.
Right.
And that's because I don't run Dip Your Car's main social media pages. I don't think everyone realizes that, but Jared, our marketing and media manager, is the one who manages those pages. Mm-hmm. I don't know most of the time what's going out on those pages unless I specifically ask, hey, share this for me or do this or that. Or if I post something myself, like when I'm taking the teaser shots at the end of a dip project in the garage. But the stuff that I take, like when I'm doing testing and I want to share it with people and stuff like that, that all that content is going to keep flowing out of my Instagram and that public page.
Right.
So hopefully we can kind of make that just run through. And if you don't want to follow the content I'm throwing out there, then don't like the page. If you want to keep up with stuff like that, because there's a lot of stuff that I share that you'll never see other than through that, go to facebook.com/FonzieDYC and just click a like on that, and that way you can kind of keep up with the ridiculous stuff that I do.
Right, right. Yeah, definitely getting hashtag popular guy problems.
First guy I unfriended when I hit 5,000. Right there. What else we got?
Who's to say I requested that friendship anyway?
I think it was mandatory.
Oh, okay. All right, so next thing that we're going to talk about is actually, it's funny because we get this every once in a while on the community page, and more so on probably Dippers Anonymous, is people asking, can they use other guns? And we've actually talked about that, but specifically a gun that Lowe's sells. And it's something that we kind of laugh about because people are comparing prices and saying, this gun looks exactly the same as the DYC gun.
Right.
How come the DYC gun is so much more expensive? And I think there's some myths that kind of go along
with that.
I think
it's something that we can easily handle. And sometimes this gets posted up on Dippers Anonymous or wherever and says, hey, guys, how about this gun? Isn't this the same one? A lot of our fans and customers now, after time, know the difference between the two. Some people still don't, and it's obviously very easy to kind of get, confused between the two, because essentially it's the same shell turbine and the same shell of the gun. What they don't show you is the differences, and I'm going to break it down for you guys right now. The Lowe's gun, that blue-looking gun, is priced at Lowe's for $120. Ehrlich's made that gun for one reason. And it's not to spray Plastidip, it's to spray latex paint. You can ask them, that's specifically the reason why they put that gun in Lowe's. It's to spray latex paint. First and foremost, it comes with a 2.5 needle tip versus the 1.5 that comes in the DYC sprayer. If you spray Plastidip spray, RDS, whatever, on two different panels, one is through a 1.5 needle, forget about hose and everything else behind it. One's through a 1.5, one's through a 2.5. The 1.5 is going to atomize that dip so much better, you're going to end up with a smoother, better quality finish. The 2.5 comes out in much larger droplets. It kind of just spits it on there, and you're not going to have that smooth finish. It's not going to atomize. So first and foremost, regardless of price and accessories and things, from a genuine quality point of view, if you buy the Lowe's gun for $120, you're going to have to buy an external or a 1.5 tip on the side in order to get the same quality end result.
Right. Okay. I remember when I first started with the company, I wrote down 1.5 needle tip have that in my head. And I think within 3 days, I threw that note out because it was so ingrained in my head because I had said it so many times.
A very big difference. So let's just break down really quickly what comes in the DYC gun that is not in the Lowe's gun. There's the paint stir, which is that blending wand that goes into your drill. That comes free in the DYC gun. It's not in the Lowe's gun. The spare parts kit that has the all the different pieces, the needle seals and the gasket and the filter, free in the DYC gun, not in the Lowe's gun. DYC gun comes with the 1.5 needle tip. The Lowe's gun does not. The DYC gun has not only a longer hose, a smooth bore hose, so the air can flow smoother without getting hot, and actually increases the CFM. It's much more durable. It's not that thin, flimsy plastic hose that once you step on it, it's crimped forever. It also has the quick connect feature on the back of the gun that not only locks in so that the hose doesn't pop out the back while you're spraying, but it allows the gun to swivel, which if you've ever used the plastic hose and then the quick connect, you will know the difference. The gun, the hose is not going to get all twisted up and all bent out of shape as you're spraying. All that, so put that together. You want to talk about dollars for a second. In order to add all the pieces needed to make the Lowe's gun equate to the DYC gun, the paint stir is $4.80. The spare parts kit's $9.90 retail. The 1.5 needle is $24.99 retail. The hose is $47.15 retail, totaling $86. So you look at them side by side. Lowe's gun, $120. DYC gun retails for $156. If you wanted to add the extra pieces to make the Lowe's gun equate to the DYC gun, it's an $86 difference. So reality is, Apple, you want to talk apples to apples, you're talking about over a $200 gun to get the Lowe's to where it is versus $156 on the DYC. If you need any more explanation than that, PM me and we'll have a conversation. It shouldn't be that difficult to figure out.
Right.
What's the next topic?
Dipping over old dip. I have a lot of people that call in and speak with technicians or speak with customer service all the time and ask, my car's dipped. Can I use that as a base coat down the road? You know, I want to dip my car matte black today, but in 3 months, I want to dip it Cobra. Can I use this matte black as my base? And then in 3 months, just throw some Cobra Chameleon over that.
Yeah. And the generalized answer to can you dip or dip over dip is yes, you absolutely can. But then there's a lot of caveats to that. First and foremost, make sure that the dip that you're dipping over is smooth. Because if it's not smooth, there's no way that your new dip is going to be smooth. Any texture that you have on your old dip is only going to be multiplied when you put more dip on top of it.
Right.
And also keep in mind, how many coats do you have down? If you have 6 coats down and it's nice and smooth, you shouldn't have any problems avoiding texture throwing another 3 or 4 on top. If you did, let's just say worst case scenario, if you did team orange over Firebelly orange base, and you got 4 coats of white down, you got 4 coats of Firebelly orange down, and you got 3 coats of pearl down, you probably want to start fresh if you want to dip again. You got so much product down in the car at that point, you probably just want to go ahead and start fresh. What you'll see us do a lot is dip over dip on shop cars, because we churn and burn those cars so quickly. Obviously, it makes a lot more sense for us. So pay attention to the condition and the texture and how many coats you have down. The other piece is, when you do want to dip over old dip, make sure it's clean. Right. You can dip over dip-coated dip. No problem at all there. If you're going to be putting any products on the dip, though, make sure you give it a nice scrub and a nice wash before you go ahead and dip on over it. And obviously, make sure that it's perfectly clean. No dirt, no dust, nothing that can get in between the old dip bonding from the new dip. And also, the last piece to that is, if you want to dip over an already dipped car, make sure the first couple coats on the new dip are not too heavy. Because what the new dip is going to do is go over the old dip, and it's going to reactivate certain levels of that old dip. And a lot of people know this already. What dip does when it dries, it shrinks and contracts. That's how it really grips your car. So you don't want to go too heavy on the first one or two coats of the new, because you don't want to reactivate that old dip too much. Because what can happen is it can shrink and retract even more, and it could pull away from certain areas of your car, or even pull away from the surface on any really tight contours and pop up and cause some lifting. So if you want to dip over old dip, you can definitely do it. People do it with success all the time, but pay attention to these little pieces, because what you don't want to do is end up putting all your newly purchased dip over old stuff, run into an issue, and then essentially not have a project that you're proud of at the end.
Right, right. And you know, you touched on something, and I'm going to kind of piggyback off of it a little bit, is we tell people all the time, if you're dipping over old dip, prep it as in you're prepping it for the first time.
Sure.
You know, soap and water, pre-dip spray.
Yep.
You know, let those products completely dry before you're laying down any new product.
100%.
All right. And then we have something that we thought would be beneficial to people that are interested in getting set up with us, not only as installers, but also maybe resellers. We have a new application process. And I thought it's brand new, I think, within the last 2 days or something like that.
A day? Yesterday we started it. And this is going to be something relevant to people who are interested in becoming authorized wholesalers, distributors, resellers, dropshippers, or installers. The old process was you get in touch with Bennett at dipyourcar.com, or even Andrew or Dan. You have a conversation. They send you a hard copy paper application. You fill it out. You send it back in via email or fax. That paper application is processed, and we go through all these different steps to make sure you meet the criteria, get your account activated, and so forth. Now, we've got an entire process built out on the back end. It took weeks of development. It's something I've wanted to do for a good long time, Dan, you know, our distribution manager, brought it up a while back. It's everybody on the team wanted to go in this direction. And what you're simply able to do now is go to dipyourcar.com, click on wholesale and distribution, and right there you can apply online. Click apply. You can select apply for authorized installer, apply for authorized reseller. It'll take you through all of the different fields of information. You can upload pictures of your business license, tax ID form. You can upload the pictures for the photo submission checklist if you want to be an installer. Everything is there in one cohesive unit. It's really turnkey for these guys. You love that word, to get it done. So we're going to leave that just as it is. If you have any questions about it, you can call in, talk to Andrew or Bennett, and get some more info. But now you can apply directly online to be an authorized Dip Your Car wholesale customer.
Yeah, it takes something that normally was 5-10 steps. And,
right. It was an archaic process. It was, you know, paper applications, things, it's, you know, shuffling around. This is a much more streamlined application. And yesterday was the first full day. And what did we get? We got, you know, over 20 or 22 applications that came in just overnight of people that really wanted to get it done.
All right. Well, I think we're going to move on to the Q&As. And I always feel like this is like the lightning round of the show just because.
Go.
All right. So the first question is from our buddy Matt. He's actually sent in a bunch of questions. And actually, before we start with these questions, I do have to say this week was by far the best week in terms of questions, not the amount of questions. We've had weeks where we've gotten more questions, but just the depth of the questions. And,
yeah,
you know, there are questions that we get that we throw answers back to, but the level of and the sophistication of these types of questions, and we wanted to touch on as many as we could. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to get just a couple because we're running low on time. But first is from our buddy Matt. He's actually sent us questions pretty much every week. He wants to know if we're ever going to do like, you know, some kind of meet down here in the Coral Springs area or the Broward County area, where Florida dippers and anybody, if they were willing to take the trip, could get together and, you know, show off their dip jobs and show off their cars and kind of gather.
Yeah, we actually had DipCon, which is what we were going to call it, and still will be calling it DipCon, which is going to be the first dipping conference, essentially. Anyway, International Dipping Conference. We were planning on having that late October, early November of this coming year. And it got derailed because this DYC Dip Pearl Top Coat High Gloss thing is coming out. And it would be really, I'm not saying it would be a bad idea, but it would be a missed opportunity to gather that many people with a like common interest of dipping before that product was launched. Imagine if we had, I mean, because the teasers were out for that product before the end of the year. I mm-hmm. mean, people knew it was coming.
Right.
Imagine having DipCon with everybody in, spending the money to get there and having this big conference. The entire talk would be, so when is it coming out?
So not so Fonzie, right. What's up with the new glide?
It wouldn't be people showing their cars with the new product. It wouldn't be demonstrations. It wouldn't be clarity tests and all these different things. It would just be a myth. It would just be like, what's up with it? Is it coming out? When's it coming out? So to miss that opportunity was frustrating to me. So I said, you know what, let's just hold off on it. Let's get this product out. Let's get a lot of these large scale projects on the way out. And then that way, when we have our first DipCon, all of that relevant material is out there, and we can just kind of jump into the pool all at one time, and nothing will be excluded.
Yeah, an October or November date would probably make some of our northern dippers kind of happy. Yeah, take a trip down south.
Yeah, so we will be doing it, but we wanted to make sure it made sense.
Right. Next from Dylan, he wants to actually know if, well, obviously we're going to be doing videos with the Dip Pearl Top Coat. Wants to know, what's the timeline in terms of Flakes video, in terms of the video for the actual using that product, and then most importantly, the fabled whole car tutorial video, because we did that whole, you know, the tutorial for the wheels, mm-hmm. And we did have some talk about doing a whole car tutorial as well, you know, refresh memories and show the process from start to finish.
Yeah. First and foremost, a lot of people have been leaving comments on my Instagram, Facebook, YouTube videos that, you know, that are using this new gloss top coat, saying, are you going to show us how to spray it? Are you going to do a tutorial video on it? Of course I'm going to do a tutorial video on it. I mean, we do tutorial videos on everything. It wouldn't make any sense not to. The reason why we're not getting into detail about how to use the product right now is because it's not available yet.
Right.
It's not in your hands. I wouldn't much rather put out a tutorial launch video on this new product and walk you through the do's, don'ts, the best practices of how to use this product when you have it in your hands and you can run with it and then use it right after the video, not 2 months ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, it's the product's not, it wasn't even out for the lot of the, it wasn't even available for pre-order. It wasn't even publicly announced even for a lot of the videos that we were teasing on. There wasn't a lot of information I was even allowed to share.
Right.
I snuck a couple things under the rug out there and maybe even pushed the envelope too much, let alone try to explain to people how to do it. But yes, there will absolutely be a full tutorial video of how to spray the product, what it's good at, what to avoid, how to get the most out of it for pearl coats, how to get the most out of it for high gloss coats. We're going to run through the entire gauntlet so that you can you know exactly what you're getting into. Mm-hmm. Was there any other part of that question I missed? Because
is that first video going to have to do with flakes or?
Oh, in the flake video, the timeline in the flake video, soon. Oh man, I'm trying to remember what's on the queue. I wish Gabe was here. I'd just ask him because he usually remembers this stuff. We have one video that's. We just finished the Nebula Purple video, and we didn't end up filming the end of that today because we had another big project come up, and a lot of people on Instagram saw me doing some testing. I've been waiting to do that testing for a long time, and I wish I could kind of talk about that a little bit more. But we'll finish the Nebula Purple video on Friday probably and get that out there. I think the next video that we have scheduled is kind of a – an in-house secret project where the video may or may not come out depending on the timing. I think the one after that is our flake or schedule for a flake video.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how we're doing it yet. I don't know if it's, we got to talk to some of the people on the community and see what they want to see.
Right.
Do you want to see a light blue flake over a dark blue base? Do you want to see a gold flake over a red base? There's a lot of ways to do flake. Right. I don't really want to do the standard colored flake over black base coat. You guys have seen that before. You haven't seen it with the top coat yet, but we want to do one that you guys are definitely going to want to see. So flake video is coming up soon, and I'm really actually excited to do that. I've been waiting so long to do a flake video.
Right. And you know, we've used it twice, but like you said in one of the earlier episodes, it's going to look so much better and so much different. And then Dylan's biggest question, I think, was he wants that whole car tutorial, and we had mentioned that now is that going to be something, you know,
new top coat waiting for the new top coat.
So,
why would I teach everybody detailed way to dip your car, get to the pearl section and use 50/50 when in a month that's going to be completely null and void.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the top coat comes out, you'll see a launch video for the top coat and you'll see a how to dip your car, the complete guide
come out
as well.
Right.
And we'll walk you through everything with that one, from prep to masking to spraying to breakdown to cleaning, whatever. We'll break it all down.
And it's funny, I did see a comment. It was like the first comment on the Nebula Purple teaser, you know, in the Dip Your Car garage. And first comment was, oh, that'd look so much better with the top coat on top instead of just with the pearls. And it's like, you talk about this all the time. It's like you wanted to mix it for that satin finish and but you're the first.
Most people yesterday got it. I think there was one guy on Facebook that was like, you should have done the gloss coat.
Which, I mean, hey.
Would it have looked glossier? Like, or maybe better? It doesn't matter. We're trying to show everybody what it looks like with just the pearls in the top coat. That's what a lot of people want to see.
Right.
Not everybody that uses this top coat is going to be making it a high gloss finish.
Right, exactly. Some people love
like
that satin.
Clean, crisp satin.
Right.
And I got a pretty sweet... What are you smiling about? You're bugging out. I got a pretty sweet project lined up where we're going to use the top coat in a totally different way to make a crisp, clean satin color, solid color. I'm really pumped for that one too, especially the car we're going to be doing it on. Hint, hashtag secret.
Wow. Worst hashtag ever.
Or best hashtag ever.
Yeah, it could be.
Is that all you got? You got one
no,
more?
One more. And this is actually from Matt, and he sends in a lot of questions all the time too.
Same?
This is
no, different guy?
No, no, we've taken one or two of his questions in the past. Mm-hmm. And this is probably the most important question that probably a lot of our listeners have, is when am I going to get a new chair? And I really, if you care about me, I think we should get a hashtag going, get Adam a new chair. I think there's going to be hashtags all over the place from this episode.
Watch how many bands get thrown out on the DYC community for talking about
rise
a new
up,
chair.
People. Rise up.
You're not going to get a new chair. There's a fold-up metal chair right there that you can use.
What am I, a high school basketball player?
I mean, I don't know. No, I mean, you know what? The problem is that you created your own monster.
I did. I talked about it too early.
If it wasn't a big social thing, I probably would have got you a chair already. But because it's become this thing and people are waiting for you to get a new chair and watching for you to get a new chair, now you've got this expectation that you're going to be in that chair for quite a long time. I do have a chair on order for Dan, though. So he'll be reclining and relaxing and enjoying himself the best that he can.
Next week's episode is canceled.
Dan will be sitting in that seat, I promise you. He'll just have to lower the microphone.
Well, that's actually going to make Jesse really happy because Jesse, a gentleman from out in California, mentioned, he was like, oh, he wanted to say hello to Fonz. He wanted to say hello to me and said, and the guy whose head keeps peeking into the screen. And last week it wasn't even a peek. It was there the whole episode.
It was the flagship of the episode. And I didn't even see because we get everything set up. I don't pay attention to what the sound guys set up and stuff for this part. We sit down, we roll with it, and we go to do the editing and the guy goes, ah. And I'm looking and all I see is Dan's dome in taking up 60%. Of the viewfinder, and that's all right. I mean,
it's like a partial eclipse.
What the question really was that done purposely? Did you reposition yourself purposely? Probably. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Because he did sit in that chair earlier before the episode was filmed,
right.
And was lounging. And
he knew
reclined.
What he was doing. He absolutely did.
I think that's it.
That's it. You know what's funny? And I really like seeing this, and this is what we'll end on. The trend, the view trend for YouTube and the listening trend for iTunes is growing with every episode.
Right.
And what you can find is you're finding that episode 8 catches the previous episode 7 and then passes it. Episode 9 comes on and then the views and listens catches the previous episode and then passes it. And that just means that we're picking up momentum. We get so many people that message us and tell us how much they enjoy this and they
right.
listen to it on their drive. And I think Jesse K, I don't know, what does he do again? He stocks freezers or something.
I mean, he's in school, I think.
I have no idea, but he listens to it while he works and stuff, and people listen to it while they dip. So continue to participate with us. This is something that we really enjoy doing, and we're going to be doing it for a long time. So with that, Fonzie.
I was actually going to say one more thing. And
does this have to do with the chair?
No. Or the temperatures in here. But right. What I was going to say was that you mentioned it a couple episodes ago that you love, and I love to see it too, is a question posted in the community or on Dippers Anonymous, and immediately they talked about that in episode 3.
Right.
They talked about that in episode 9, and that's how Steam is getting built. You guys are spreading the word. So
yeah, because we tell the listeners, our fans and our customers and our friends information that we think has value to it, and the best thing that they can do is spread that word because it helps everybody get on the same page.
Right.
You have anything else you want to throw in there last minute?
Nope. This is it.
Do you want to throw your pen randomly?
If
you
guys piece of paper.
Go back to episode whatever was before this one.
9.
9. There's a point in there where Adam loses complete motor control of his hand and throws a pen in the air. It's Fonzie, Adam, Dan. You want to give your head a little activity? There it is.
There you go. Jesse's happy.
We'll catch you on the next episode.